Hands up who's enjoying the World Cup. Oh dear. Who's hating it? Yeah, sort of a bit equal there. You're not hating it, are you? I'm shocked at the back there with your granddad being who he is. Well, like it or loathe it, football is a team sport. Too many in defence and you'll never score a goal. Too many up the front, you'll probably let quite a lot in the other end. The team needs to work to their strengths and also cooperate with the team that's not on the pitch, the physio, the manager, the team doctor, etc., etc. Paul's picture of the different parts of the body here is similar. Different parts with different roles, but all needed if the church is to be effective. The passage we heard read is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, and this is one of the earliest documents written to churches, about AD 55. Ancient Corinth was about 50 miles west of Athens, and there's a modern Corinth city there today. It was one of the most cosmopolitan cities of its time, a hugely wealthy trade center, but well known for some negative reasons as well, an obsession with money and sex. And Paul is writing because the culture around the church in that city has really had a negative effect on them, and they have also adopted some of the more immoral ways of the city. He needs to write some words of rebuke and encouragement to try and get them back on track. The section of the letter from chapters 11 to 14 is all about worship and the ordering of the church. And it's important that when we read them, we understand them in that context. So, for example, when Paul writes his famous passage about love in chapter 13, a passage often read out loud at weddings, it's not some vague call to love everyone, but a specific command for those in the church to demonstrate the characteristics of love with their fellow Christians. Not always easy. And the passage about the body, which we've just heard, also comes in the middle of this section on worship. And that also has to be read in the context of the worshipping life of the church. What he writes about is who we are and what we do. Today, I've used the analogy of a football team. But the image of the body that Paul used is something that we can all relate to. Perhaps better than sport, in fact. But it actually wasn't original. He took an example often used in the ancient world to talk about society and people's different roles in it. The difference is that society to the Romans and other ancient peoples would be something where everyone would have their place. A bit like the caste system in India. Some people's position in society was to be regarded as more important or more significant, and others, well, they were just for a lesser type of person, those roles, and that was that. Paul's taking that metaphor and using it to state something that would actually be quite revolutionary in Corinth at that time. He's saying we all have an equal role to play in the church, whatever our social status may be. Clearly, we all have different personalities and gifts to offer. We're not all the same. But we are equally valuable to God and therefore to each other. Thinking about the human body, it never ceases to amaze me how absolutely complex it is. And how individual everybody's body is. I have trouble getting shoes to fit. And high heels are a rare sighting on me. But I came to this startling revelation a few months ago. Quite late in life, I have realised that one foot is a different size to the other. And this is why I've had problems. And I don't think it's just me. No two parts of the body, even though they're pairs, they're not identical. Our eyes are different, our ears are different, our hands and feet are different from each other. And diversity, it's not an accident. God made us that way. The point Paul is making is that the wider body, the church, needs all of us in our diversity in order to function. Everybody has a part to play. Every part of our physical body matters, and every part of the body of Christ matters. Within our community here, there are people that are extremely clever and able to think things through clearly, but sometimes aren't always so good at the practical things. We've got people who haven't had much education but are brilliant at making things or cooking or painting or building. All sorts of gifts are represented here. People who are good at gardening, people who are good at praying. The list goes on. Everybody matters and is essential. Paul concludes his analogy with these words. There should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now, I'm hugely attractive, as you all know, to insects. They usually leave Steve alone, but I always seem to get bitten. And when I do, my skin reacts badly, and the itching takes my mind off everything else. It's all I can think about. On the other hand, if you've ever had a hand, foot, or head massage, you'll know that the feelings you get spread through your entire body. What Paul is saying is something like that. We are all connected. As a community, we suffer together and we rejoice together. That's the church in action, and I am thankful for it. All of us sitting here have a part to play in the church body of St. Stephen's. We're all valued and loved by God, and equally valuable to the community here. Whether we've been coming for years or we're relatively new, it doesn't matter. All of us have a part to play, and what we do or don't do affects everybody else. We're going to be thinking more about this in September, when we have a chance to consider how we can find our unique place in this church community. But today is an extremely exciting time for St. Stephen's. We have a new member of our body whose ministry will affect us all. So I'm going to introduce you now to our curate Sam and ask him a few questions. I'm going to hang on to the mic now, Sam, because I haven't got my own. So, Sam Sanya, tell us a bit about yourself. Where did you grow up? And when did you come to live in the UK?
I grew up in a place somewhere tucked away in Africa called Uganda. Has anybody heard about that country? It is a country in Africa, in East Africa. So I was born and raised there and first left Uganda when I finished university. So that was in 2004. Okay.
And what brought you to the UK?
I came to the UK to do a gap year. So I had been volunteering with the Scripture Union in Uganda for a few years. But then at some point I thought, well, being in Uganda, it's only one part of the world and there must be more out there. So that's how I got in touch with several people and then came to do CareForce. CareForce was a Christian charity, so I came to do that for 1 year in a place called Dagenham. Has anybody heard about Dagenham? So I know I didn't have a clue what Dagenham was and where it was, but as I was telling people, that's where I was. They were saying, of all places, why Dagenham? Anyway, so that's where I was.
And you've just finished your ordination training at Wycliffe College in Oxford, haven't you?
Yes.
Where were you before that?
Before that, I was at St. Gabriel's, Cricklewood, where Andrew Dund, your previous curate, was. So we were on staff together there. I was serving as a children, youth and families minister. And so I did that for 5 years. Before that, I had done a similar role at St. Mary's Bay Country in Dagenham.
Fantastic. Well, tell us what you're looking forward to about working here with us and being part of the body of Christ at St. Stephen's.
Well, what am I looking forward to? So many things. Number one is getting to know you people, getting to know so many of you. The joy of the body of Christ is that we, doesn't matter what our story is, where we started from, where we are united in Christ. And so that's exciting to get to know each of you, to come round perhaps to your houses, if that's possible, you come round to ours. And so that's number one. Number two is I've had a good reputation about Caroline and Steve. So no pressure. So I'm looking forward to working together with you. But number three is, I think it's a great thing to be where God wants you to be for all of us. So I'm just happy and excited that this is the right place that God has for myself, my wife, and my daughter, and excited to be here.
Anything worrying you?
Anything worrying me? You can imagine there'll be a long list of those. I think the thing, having done youth work in three different churches, and I was reminded of that being at St. Paul's yesterday with a succession of churches and these members being there, is that there's a lot of stop, start, stop, start, stop, start. And so then leaving St. Gabriel's to Oxford, those stop, start there, and then leaving Oxford to come here. So the worrying thing, not just for me, but for my family, is saying goodbye to friends and then starting again. So that continuous thing to have to say goodbye and start again. So that's probably one thing. But I'm excited, as I say, to be here, and I know we'll make new friends here.
Thank you so much. And if you're not around at the whole Gross, you may see Sam's wife Rachel and his daughter Hannah Joy at cafe time, and his parents are also here, and his mother-in-law and his friends, some friends coming too, so there'll be a big crowd later on. So let's pray for Sam. If you could reach out a hand towards him, we'll pray for him now. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this gift to our church, which you have provided, and we pray for Sam. We thank you for all he is, for all he's going to bring to us. We pray for your blessing on him. We know these times of transition are not easy, and we pray, Lord, that he would quickly feel welcome and settle in here. Please bless him, Rachel and Hannah Joy, that they'd make friends. And Lord, we look forward to his ministry here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.